I want to start in 1 Peter, and you will have a tough time keeping up with me today because I probably won't turn to most of these scriptures. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and verse 8, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Seeking whom he may devour. And what I want to work with this morning is that image that we have of the devil running around, roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And I'm going to start in Daniel, the 6th chapter. You know the story of Daniel, that Daniel was a captive, and he rose to prominence in the kingdom. And he rose to such prominence that at one point Darius the king decided that he would set him above all the other kings. He set up kind of a governmental structure, had governors and so forth. He had three presidents at the top, and he was thinking about making Daniel the top chief president maybe, of all of his kingdom, a worldwide empire. We're going to make him the chief president. His fellow workers obviously didn't like that, and set about trying to figure out a way to get Daniel removed. And so they talked the king into making this thing that for a certain amount of time, anyone who prayed to anyone but him would be thrown in the lion's den. Well, Daniel continued to pray. And they came and they caught him. Not because he was hiding, they just saw him. And they took him. And they took him back to the king. And we're going to pick up reading in verse 16. "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. A stone was brought, and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. His sleep went from him. The king arose very early in the morning and went and hastened to the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, break all their bones in pieces, or ever there came at the bottom of the den." We can talk about Daniel. We can talk about Daniel's perseverance and his faith in God. We can talk about Darius. But what I want you to understand this morning, and what we're going to keep talking about, is how frustrating it was for the lions. How frustrating it was for the lions. I'm a lion, I'm in this den, I'm hungry, I'm very hungry. I've been fed for days. They throw this tasty morsel in called Daniel. I'm ready to eat. And an angel comes down and closes my mouth. I cannot eat. I cannot get a bite. Because God closed the lion's mouth. How frustrating. To sit there with that hot fudge sundae in front of you and not be able to eat it. I experienced that this week, not a hot fudge sundae, but I sat with a lot of food in front of me and wasn't able to chew it. It's frustrating. How frustrating it was for the lions to not be able to eat this morsel. Because God closed the lion's mouths. You know, we all have situations every day where we feel like people have thrown us in a den. We feel like people have thrown us in the den. We're about to get eaten alive. And this whole talk this morning is about, remember, the lions are quiet. The lions don't roar. The lion doesn't roar. That one that walketh about seeking whom he may devour is quiet when God is there. You remember in 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, Moses kind of had this problem. He'd brought the people out of the land of Egypt. He was leading them in the wilderness, and he had these three people, Naboth, Ahab, and... No, a different story. I jumped ahead of myself, way ahead of myself. Now, let's go to 1 Kings 21st. We have the story of Naboth, Ahab, and Jezebel. You remember how Naboth had a vineyard next to the palace, and Jezebel and Ahab wanted it. And they desired it greatly, and so Jezebel concocted the story about how Naboth had blasphemed, and the people took Naboth out and stoned him. And so Ahab took the vineyard of Naboth. And then Ahab sat back with Jezebel and said, "That's a nice vineyard. I really am pleased. I feel good about it. It's a nice vineyard. I've always wanted that vineyard. It sits right next to my palace. It's a cool vineyard. I'm glad I got it." And God showed up and said, "No. No. Nope. You're not going to get it. And in fact, you're both going to die, and Jezebel, you're going to be eaten by dogs." How frustrating is it to the devil? How frustrating is it to the devil to constantly have his mouth shut? To have him frustrated with being fighting against God and never winning. Never winning. In Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, maybe we'll turn there. Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, verse 17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." This God of ours that created all that you imagine and see about you with a word frustrates the devil at every turn. We aren't walking around in the wilderness with roaring lions chasing us without any defense. That roaring lion with God is quiet. Is quiet. Don't be scared of the devil. Don't be scared of the devil. He's never won. You know, if you go see the Globetrotters, they play a team called, if I remember right, the Generals. I think the Generals have won once by accident in all the years that they played. You don't sign on to play with the Generals. You sign on to play with the Globetrotters. God has never lost. Not once has God lost. So we needn't be afraid when we're running around in this world and we see all the things that could happen to us and might happen to us and worry about them, etc., because God has never lost. And if you're on his team, you are never losing. Now, sometimes we might be like Elijah, who thought that maybe God had lost track of him. Maybe God had forgot about him. Maybe God didn't care that he was up at a cave in the mountains. Felt like he was all alone. You might feel like that. I might feel like that at times. I might feel like the lions are just coming in and eating me and nobody cares. Nobody cares. But God shuts lion's mouth. God shuts the lion's mouth. You remember the story of Esther? How the king was looking for a new queen. He found Esther. There was a man by the name of Haman that just hated the Jews. Particularly hated Naaman, who was Esther's uncle, if I recall correctly. And so he prepared this big scheme to get rid of Naaman and all the Jews. How'd that work out? How did that work out? Haman ended up hanging on the gallows he'd prepared for Naaman. God's still in charge. God's still in charge. When Naaman might have felt like the lions were circling, like the lions were ready to take a bite, God closed their mouths. He closed their mouths, and they harmed him none. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And the lions are quiet. If you're a child of God, God has never lost. It's never been a close game. God has never lost. God will never lose. And God cannot lose in saving your soul. You may lose, but God cannot lose. You needn't be afraid of what anybody else is going to do to you or what's going to happen, because God can't lose. He says, you're my child. Do you think he's going to let you be lost unless you choose to be? God will close the lion's mouths. He will make them quiet. The lions will be quiet. Sometimes as we observe the world, as we observe our nation, we get worried. We get anxious about what things are happening. Maybe we should get a little bit anxious and concerned because we care. But in Psalms, the 66th chapter, it says that God watches the nations. He keeps track of them. He knows what's going on. He hasn't gone anywhere. Romans the 13th chapter, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And in verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So I may feel like the economy is going to pot. I may feel like we're morally headed in the wrong way in our nation. I may feel like that people who try to serve God are going to be persecuted in some way. But I don't need to worry. I don't need to worry just because I'm caught in this den, because God can control the lion. God can shut their mouths. And we forget that sometimes. We forget about God. And all of our troubles, all of our concerns, all of our worries, we forget that He is perfect and has a perfect record. It's sure frustrating to fight against God. Ask Jonah. Brought up this morning. Ask Jonah. Frustrating to fight against God. He never loses. You ever play any game against someone who never loses? It's aggravating. Frustrating. Moses, when he went back to Egypt to get the people out of Egypt, showed up at Pharaoh's door and said, I want you to let my people go. They've been here long enough. God wants them to go. Pharaoh said, no. No. So one after another, God brought 10 plagues of various kinds, but all of which none of us would like to endure. 10 plagues upon them. And then finally Pharaoh said, yeah, I guess so. And he let him go. And then he changed his mind. And he chased him. And you remember the story. They crossed the Red Sea on dry land. And Pharaoh's army tried to do the same. And they got swallowed up. Man. How many times does God have to prove that he's in control? How many times does God have to prove that he can handle our problems? He can help us. He's never lost. And he's not going to lose. Even when it feels like the lions are waiting to eat us alive. How frustrating it must be for that old lion, the devil, to be quiet. Every time he thinks he has you, every time he thinks he has God's people, God shuts his mouth. So he can't devour them. He can't bite them. How frustrating is that? Kind of takes sadistic glee in that, don't you? A little bit of sadistic glee in the fact that the devil is frustrated. But he may have been frustrated before, but he is really frustrated now. Because God was mistaken enough to take a chance to send his only son to earth where he might sin and he might lose him. The devil had to be just warming to the task. This is what I've been waiting on. I sense a win, kind of like the generals. I sense a win tonight. I sense a win. And the Jews pestered him and finally crucified him, and the devil had to say, finally, I won one. I finally won one. It was a big one. But the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. What if the devil saw that one coming? What if the devil saw that one coming? Second Corinthians says, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. And the devil was frustrated. James 4 and 7 tells us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Why? Because he's a coward. For one reason. Because he's a coward. And the second reason is, you think you had problems. He's never won. And if you have God with you and you resist the devil, he knows that his chances are pretty small. And he's not going to win. And the lion's mouths will be closed. You know, he's been losing for so long, he doesn't know how to do anything but lose.
In Revelation, the 12th chapter, in verses 7 through 9, it talks about the devil. He was one of the archangels in heaven, and he decided that he was pretty good. In fact, he was almost as good as God. In fact, he might be better than God. So he led a revolt against God. Lost. And he has been losing ever since. Never won. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're winners. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to quit thinking like a loser. I need to quit thinking like I might lose. I need to get a little confidence that I can't be beaten. Have you ever felt that? A confidence that you can't be beaten? I remember one time, many years ago, when I was playing ball, we played this game, and there was a game within the game. There's always a game within the game. Sometimes several games within the game. But there was a game within the game, and I had this kid guarding me who I ended up taking care of years later. And I owned him. I mean, I could do whatever I wanted, and he could do nothing to stop. He knew it. I knew it. There's nothing like that feeling. There's nothing like that feeling that you can do whatever you need to do. Nobody can stop you from winning. Nobody. There's nothing like that feeling. That's a feeling we need. Nobody can stop us from winning. Because God's there. And He's never lost. Never lost. God has never lost one person who served Him. Never one. Not even by accident. Not even because He forgot one. Not one in all of history. Not one time has God lost one of His. You and your Father are winners. Are winners. You've won. You have won. Not are going to win. That's true too. But you have won. You signed on with God and He's never been beaten. Never, ever. You've won. In Acts, the Pharisees were kind of picking on Peter. And come some of the other apostles, and they were trying to figure out what to do. They'd beat them, and then they'd show up the next day in the temple preaching again. How frustrating that had to be. There they are again. These people just won't give up. Go away. It wouldn't go away. Go away. They won't go away.
Gamaliel stood up in front of them. He said, "You remember these other people that were here? How they kind of caused us trouble?" And then it just kind of went away. But be careful. Because if these men be of God, who are you to fight against God? Who can fight God? He always wins. I need to be remind myself of that frequently. I wanted to remind you of that this morning. One simple point. God closes lions' mouths. And whatever lion is getting ready to eat you, he can close it. And God never loses. How frustrating it has to be for the lions. How frustrating it has to be for the devil. Lions' mouths are closed. I've never figured out why someone ever sign up to play for the Generals. I hope they pay them well. Because I'm a very competitive person. That's a surprise to you, isn't it? I always tell my students, I used to tell the residents, it's a strange world we live in. You take the most competitive people on God's earth and you put them in a business where they lose every time. But I'm a very competitive person. I hate losing. Why would you sign up to be on a team that always loses? Why would you do that? I feel so sorry for the Generals when I see them play. I want to go out and trip one of the Globetrotters. Because they always lose. Devil has to be just frustrated, unhappy as all get out. He knows what's coming. In Genesis, God told him what was coming. "You may bruise my heel, but I'll crack your head. I'm going to win." And he has, every single time. We're going to close this morning, and that's a simple message I wanted to bring. The lions that are threatening you, God is capable and willing to close their mouths. The lion, that roaring lion of 1 Peter that threatens you, God is capable of closing his mouth and willing. What we have to do is decide if we want to be winners or losers. Might be a difficult choice if the record was 31-30. But the record is 100 for God and 0 for the devil. We offer you a chance to be a winner because God's a winner. And Jesus gave us a way for us to be winners. Now, not when we get to heaven just, but now. To think like winners, to act like winners, to feel like winners. God did that for us, and we offer you the opportunities we stand and sing.